The first system we will consider is the hypothalamic antipituitary system. Now, starting with some generalities here. Now, starting with some general aspects. In the hypothalamic antipituitary system, all the hormones are water-soluble. There are no lipid-soluble hormones in this system. Focusing specifically on the hypothalamus, you have to know for sure that the hormones produced by the hypothalamus are actually synthesized in the neuron cell body. Once they're synthesized in the cell body, they're packaged in vesicles, they're transported down the axon, and then they are stored and released from the nerve terminals. Step one is very big on the point. When a neuron synthesizes a hormone, it always synthesizes that hormone in the cell body, then it is packaged in vesicles, it is transported down the axon and stored and released from the nerve terminals. Very important general point. Now, the next figure here shows the general organization of the hypothalamus and antipituitary in relation to what we're dealing with here. Now, in the hypothalamus, most of the hypothalamic hormones that affect the antipituitary are synthesized in the ventromedial nucleus or the arcuate nucleus. Now, different textbooks say slightly different things, and we state here that the paraventricular nucleus is where corticotropin-releasing hormone is synthesized, but different textbooks say slightly different things. However, they're mainly consistent in the fact that the preoptic region is where you synthesize gonadotropin-releasing hormone. And it is worthwhile memorizing that the preoptic region is where gonadotropin-releasing hormone is synthesized. Now, it doesn't matter which region of the hypothalamus the hormones are synthesized. Once they are synthesized, they're packaged in vesicles, they're transported down the axon to be stored and released from the nerve terminals. Now, all of these nerve terminals come together in one region of the hypothalamus, and that is the median eminence region. The hypothalamic hormones are stored and released in the median eminence. They're released into the portal circulation where they're transported to the antipituitary to affect the release of antipituitary hormones. Now, if we match up the hypothalamic factor or hormone with its effect on the antipituitary, we come up with this scheme right here. Now, if you're not familiar with the abbreviations, these abbreviations are spelled out completely in your handout. And we've organized this going from the simple towards the complex. Now, one simple system is the thyroid system. In the hypothalamus, you secrete a thyrotropin-releasing hormone. It's transported to the antipituitary. It stimulates the thyrotropes to release TSH. As far as we're concerned, the complete control of TSH is via TRH from the hypothalamus. Another simple system involves corticotropin-releasing hormone. This is released again into the portal circulation. It stimulates the corticotropes of the antipituitary to release ACTH. Again, as far as we're concerned, the release of ACTH is totally under the control of corticotropin-releasing hormone. Now, one system that's a little bit more complex begins with gonadotropin-releasing hormone. This is synthesized and released into the portal circulation. It goes to the antipituitary to stimulate the gonadotropes, but this hormone will release both LH and FSH. So the release of LH and FSH is regulated by a single hypothalamic hormone. But you should realize, and it's not well understood why, you should realize there is independent regulation of the secretion of LH and FSH. So even though LH and FSH are regulated by the same hypothalamic hormone, then there is independent regulation of the release of LH and FSH. Now, another system that is also a little complex is the growth hormone system. The hypothalamus will release a growth hormone releasing hormone that stimulates the somatotropes of the antipituitary, but the hypothalamus also releases an inhibitory hormone. And this inhibitory hormone is somatostatin that inhibits the somatotropes and decreases the release of growth hormone. Now, this is a fairly important point to understand. If we damage the pituitary stalk, if we sever the pituitary stalk and we disconnect the connection between the hypothalamus and the antipituitary, what we find is the circulating level of growth hormone decreases. If you sever the pituitary stalk, the circulating level of growth hormone decreases. Now, that tells you the main factor regulating the release of growth hormone is the releasing hormone. So you have to know the main factor that releases growth hormone from the antipituitary is the releasing hormone from the hypothalamus. Now, finally here, the last aspect is the most unique. With the release of prolactin, we know that the prolactin inhibiting factor secreted by the hypothalamus, which is dopamine, is the main factor regulating the release of prolactin. So the release of prolactin is mainly under the control of an inhibitory hypothalamic factor. Now, I know they proposed a stimulating factor or hormone here, but it is not important for step one. You have to know for sure that prolactin is under the control mainly of an inhibitory hormone. Therefore, if you now consider damage to the pituitary stalk, if you damage the pituitary stalk, and I want to underscore, you are not damaging the antipituitary. If you damage the pituitary stalk, if you disconnect the hypothalamus from the antipituitary, all antipituitary hormones in the circulation will decrease except prolactin. Prolactin increases. Prolactin increases because it is under the control mainly of an inhibitory factor. In fact, you should realize a rise in plasma prolactin after a head injury, is evidence you've damaged the pituitary stalk. And that is a very frequent question on step one. So that's a very important point to remember. Just finishing up here, we do need to mention a few other smaller points at this point. The hormonal release from both the hypothalamus and the antipituitary is mainly pulsatile. What you have is a pulsatile release from the hypothalamus, and that will cause a pulsatile release from the antipituitary. This is a very pulsatile system. The only exception here is the thyroid system. The thyroid system is a fairly constant system, although there is a circadian rhythm. But the point they're most likely to test on step one here, and we'll reiterate this later on in the notes, the pulsatile release of gonadotropin releasing hormone is required to prevent downregulation of these receptors in the antipituitary. The gonadotropes of the antipituitary must always have a pulsatile input of GnRH. If they don't have a pulsatile input of GnRH, the receptors on the gonadotrope will downregulate with time, and the secretion and circulating levels of FSH and LH will decrease. Now, like I said, that's another fairly important point for step one, but we'll reiterate that and add a few details when we get to the reproductive hormones.